All right. This is obviously The Byrds with Turn, Turn, Turn. Before that, we heard Bob Marley, Three Little Birds, and The Four Tops. The well is dry. Are your wells dry?
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning. We're here with Mardell and Leslie for the Garden Conversation.
It's been a while, Leslie, since you've been on the radio. Leslie Evenden, yeah. And so we're going to first talk about what did you just call it, Leslie? What in funny year? Anyway, it's
amazing.
Amazing and funny year, yeah. It's a very unusual year in many ways, but for gardening, you know, all of this heat has really changed the nature of some things, and then now drought is something that we don't have to deal with to this extent very often. So one of the things that I'm noticing with that for me is some unexplained things. The order, the timing of my garden is really, really different this year. Some things are very early, like my raspberries are done 2 weeks early, 3 weeks early maybe. But then my corn and my peppers are almost late, or they're kind of on schedule. And so some of that unexplained stuff is kind of interesting to me. And one of my observation is how much just a few degrees difference makes to everything, how everything grows. The insects, are you having more insect problems this year, Leslie?
No, I was actually having more beneficial insects
this year.
Oh, great,
yeah.
Definitely less slugs.
Less slugs, but I still have slugs.
Lots of bees.
Yeah, lots of bees.
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, lots of bees. So therefore, I thought my pollination was going to be like amazing on my raspberries. Mm. It was not the case. I had just as many or probably more of those partially pollinated raspberries. Mm. So there were bees around, but they weren't all doing their pollination job the way they should have been doing. But
yeah, they're new at this, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe not. We didn't pay them enough or something. I don't know. So, but I have definitely seen lots more insects, and that is a good point. There's as many good beneficials as there are the pests. I'm having more pest problems as a result of more insects in general around.
I think the mosquito count, at least in my yard, has been down.
We had them bad early, and then they've gone away.
Yeah. Got the no-see-ums, but the mosquitoes.
That's right.
Yeah, I've seen more dragonflies this year.
Lots of dragonflies. They're one of my favorite beneficials. Yeah. So somebody was saying the other day that they wanted to just have their own very private dragonfly drones flying around them. I thought that's a great image. So what we're really going to talk about today, though, is I have Leslie's being very bold, and she's willing to expose gardening blunders. Or let's put it, what would you do different? You've kind of expanded your garden. How many years has it been now?
About 10.
About 10 years. Wow.
And you think you'd learn, and you really don't learn enough quickly enough.
Well, there's always more to learn, I guess, is what is the bottom line. So I just thought that might be helpful to other people to learn from other people's mistakes. I mean, I'm on my own little private going to different gardens, and I'd encourage people to do that. I don't know of a gardener that doesn't love talking about gardening and willing to show what they're doing. And so I'm arranging my own little private garden tours at the moment here mid-season, and I'm learning a lot.
Exciting. I've had a few people, newbies, over to my house and shared a few things with them. But then one of the blunders I've made is I haven't paid close enough attention to the information I've gotten from more experienced gardeners. And when I hear about a really successful variety, I may write it down, but I don't always order that seed.
You don't use it in the spring.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing that I want to start paying more attention to, is looking at people who have the success and following their lead and doing the things that I know already are working for others, that I shouldn't have to recreate the wheel.
Right. Yep.
Like you keep telling me that the batting is the successful trick around your brassicas. Mm-hmm. And I've decided this next year I'm going to use batting and row cover, because I have a really hard time with root maggots. So why am I struggling so much when there's successful people out there who are using row cover or batting, and I should just try those.
Yeah, methods. It is true. And I, but so that being said, so you try it, and then it may or may not work. Rebecca Brewer and I always joke about the fact that if she tries something and thinks it works great, I'll try it, and it doesn't work in my garden. We just happen to have some really opposite, different situations. But I, especially varieties, a lot of the varieties, I see people trying varieties that to me is a no-brainer. They're just not going to work here. They take too long of a season or that sort of thing. So there's definitely something to be said by trying varieties that other people are using and liking.
Right. I would also like to try more varieties. I think that what happens for me is I get hooked on one or two kinds of crops or varieties, and then I don't branch out enough. Mm-hmm. And I also would like to grow different kinds of things. Like, I think fennel is a crop that would grow great. I just don't try it. And then there's a lot of things I'm not growing that I see other people are growing. I'm like, oh, why am I not growing that? So, and I have a greenhouse, so I can grow lots of things inside. And this year I did grow some more things inside that I hadn't grown, and that was a success. But I planted carrots inside just to see. And honestly, the carrots outside are much happier.
Much better. Yeah.
So that wasn't necessarily a blunder, but it was a trial and it didn't work.
That's right. You try that. And so, but I was out at Kate's last night and she had kale growing inside of her dome. And I thought, why on earth would you have kale growing inside your dome? Kale grows everywhere here. Well, the reason she does it is because the kale growing inside the dome she finds is tenderer.
Yep, mine too.
Because she gets a lot of wind. I don't get that, so I don't experience that. But she said that the wind really makes her kale leaves tough. And so she's found that when she grows them under a shelter, it's they're tenderer.
Yep.
And I never would have thought about that.
I have kale and carrots both growing in my greenhouse. And the reason is because they will, I can keep them into like, November.
Longer season. Right. Yeah, that's another good reason to have something.
But I have kale out and carrots outside as well.
Yeah. So again, varieties is something that they work for different people in different ways, and also personal preference. Like, I am a real green bean snob. I do not grow any other green beans except my two favorite varieties now, no matter what people say, oh, you should try this one. Because I've tried some of the other ones, and I don't like them for various reasons, mostly that they get too bushy and they're undisciplined.
Okay, so I grow Vortex and Provider. What are your two favorites?
I grow Vortex because I find that's a really successful pole bean. That's a pole bean. You got to trellis that. And I grow Maasai.
And I tried those. It didn't work.
And so that's what that's what happens. So Maasai is one of my favorites because I usually have to contend with a lot of mold. Usually, most years, August, you deal with a lot of mold, and they're the last beans. They will mold, but they are slower to mold, that gray mold, Botrytis. So that's the, and I also like the smaller bean, and they stay a more compact plant. So, but what you have to do is you have to try the different varieties. I'm in the process of trying lots of different tomatoes now because I've just expanded my ability to grow tomatoes. And so I'm zeroing down on some of my favorites of those.
Yeah. Have you had a successful summer with your tomatoes?
I have had amazing tomatoes.
Oh,
I have had three tomatoes that have been 1¾ pound each.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
the heat, right?
Well, that, and I'm also doing single stem. I think I talked about this early on. Single stem is when you cut off all the laterals of the tomatoes and you just do one stem. Actually, I'm doing two on some of them. And what that does is it focuses the energy into having bigger tomatoes. I won't know until the end of the season what it all shakes out. I'm keeping track of pounds of tomatoes, so I'm gonna compare what I did last year and what I got this year. So I don't know what that looks like because it's full of tomatoes, so I think it's going to be equal. But there's no question they're bigger tomatoes. So if you want big tomatoes, cut off the side shoots. But some people don't like the big tomatoes. They'd rather have the smaller.
So. I single stem too. But I went to the Sunshine Farm recently and I saw their beefsteak tomatoes. Oh my gosh, they were as big as, you know,
Right, they're really big, yeah. And mine aren't, everybody assumes that they're beef steak, and I can't grow beef steak because they have a longer season. Sunshine Farm has an amazing, I don't know what they've got in that greenhouse. They grow things that I would say, nope, can't be grown in our area, but mm-hmm. they do. They, right. everything from melons to beefsteak tomatoes to, they've got some magic there is all I can say, mm-hmm. so... let's see. So speaking of greenhouses, one of the blunders I've had, I counted up the greenhouses that I've had in the last 20, 25 years. I've had 7 different greenhouses. And so one of the things that I have learned as a result of that is ventilation, ventilation, ventilation. Always put ventilation in your whatever structure, whether it be a dome or an attached greenhouse or whatever. And I had to learn that with my first few, that I didn't do that adequately, and now that's just kind of what I do. So that's
I agree. And this year I added 2 additional lower windows that are louvered, and I've left them open a lot, and it's helped with the cross ventilation quite a bit. Joni, did you?
I added a top vent way up at the top, and that helped. But I think the thing that really helped me this year was I got one of those big. Big fans. Tornadoes, and I pointed it up towards the ceiling, and Kate suggested this, and I haven't had the green moss growing in my greenhouse since then. Of course, it's been drier too.
So much drier.
Yeah, it has been a lot drier. But yeah, both of you have learned the same lessons that I've had to. You go in after you create your dome or your whatever you're going to build. Then you go in and you figure out how to do ventilation because you find you just don't have enough. So anybody who's thinking about building any sort of structure for growing anything in, ventilation, ventilation, ventilation. You need to have more than you ever dream that you might need.
Yeah, my and fan goes 24/7 now.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And I have 3 fans in my dome now. And so that's
and the high tunnels are great because they have the roll-up sides. And so they get so much cross-ventilation.
I still have fans in my roll-up, and so for the days that I don't roll up the sides, I have fans to pull in air through. So, yeah. Let's see. So that's one of my blunders. I wish I would have planted my fruit trees about 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I just planted them last year.
I have apples this year.
I know.
It's 3 years. It's the first year. I'm super excited.
Isn't it fun? Yeah, I can't wait till I have fruit. Yeah. Plant
and
your fruit trees
last year. And my neighbor has Rainier cherries and Bing cherries. And she planted them about 15 years ago. And they're gorgeous. And they were so productive this year, and the fruit is so delicious, and get your hands on one of those.
But you don't really have to wait 15 years. I was just out at Kate's, and she's got fruit that she just planted like 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
So it really is not that long.
Start now.
Start now. Yeah.
Don't wait.
Start last year, not this year, or not next year. So let's see. Another blunder, for those of you who are thinking about putting a water system in, a drip irrigation system, which quite a few people have said to me this year because we've had so much drought. It's been easy for me this year because mine's all on an automatic drip system, and I don't waste water, and it's I don't have to think about it. And but when you put one of these in, I do advocate it's a good idea. Plan for the future, because I have added in through the years, and I have this really cumbersome, crazy system with all sorts of timers and all. And it's just because I've added in, oh, I'm going to put a bed here. Oh, I'm going to do this. And I didn't, when I started out, I didn't think about that. So dream big when you're putting this in and just think, oh, I might want to add this. So that's definitely a blunder that I have done.
I'm going to add just a garbage can and fill it with water that I catch off some roof because now I'm on city water and I'm on this water restriction.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty tough to have tomatoes and cucumbers that can't be watered.
Yeah.
Now your greenhouse is bigger than mine, but I had a garbage can full of water in mine last year, and I found it to be in the way quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was maybe going to do it outside.
Put it outside.
Okay. Where it would catch off some surface.
Okay,
yeah.
Good idea.
I guess the problem is that you're not going to get as much surface water, although we may get rain this weekend, but you know, when it's dry, we haven't gotten much rain. But
you can always fill it with a hose. for whenever.
Unless you're on city water restrictions, eh?
Well, if it's, yeah. Fill it early.
Fill it early. Yeah,
and keep it full. Mm-hmm.
And then cover it so it doesn't breed mosquitoes.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
And then mine froze inside my greenhouse, and it was difficult getting it out.
Oh, no.
So one of the blunders is don't leave your water frozen in your greenhouse. Dump it out before it freezes.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, they always say that water is going to heat up and keep your greenhouse warmer.
Until it freezes. Yeah. Until it freezes.
Yeah. So. The heat sink.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I think along with all of the blenders, and it's a constant learning curve, you certainly learn what does work. And this has been a year of abundance. Everybody talks, the things that have done really well are just, you know, going crazy.
And it's
crazy.
Different everywhere. Like you said, there's different microclimates. Mm-hmm. I also have chickens, and so I have a whole different element in my garden than
added into
than
that.
Someone else's, because I have all that nitrogen. Mm-hmm. So every situation's so different, and learning what you are successful with and
in your situation. Yeah.
So that's not a blunder, but that's an opportunity to really nurture yourself and grow as a gardener, because we want to be better always.
And recognize that each of our situations is different. That's the thing. That's why we always have various people come on the shows, because everybody's got a different experience and a little microcosm in their world.
So. Yeah, and even in Haines, in these 40 miles.
Yeah, that's right.
So much.
Well, thank you so much. It's been interesting hearing about the blunders and the successes here today on the Garden Conversation.
Thank you, Joni.
Thanks, Joni.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a great day. With Mardell and Leslie, Garden Conversation is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.